Everybody, good afternoon. Tuesday, June 5th, it's the Joint Ways and Means Education Subcommittee opening up our committee meeting, because we don't have the numbers right now, and I'm going to turn it over to Steve Bender, who's going to start to talk about issues. Come to bed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Maybe you're having a quorum. Maybe you're getting a quorum now. I don't know.
Okay, opening up our work session on Senate Bill 5515, Department of Higher Education. Steve Bender.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Mr. Chair, I know it is your intent that the subcommittee vote on the Department of Higher Education budget, that is Senate Bill 5515, today. And in order to assist you in achieving that, I will be especially brief. Please, if you have any questions, stop me, because otherwise I will be doing a very high-level discussion of the LFO recommendation for Senate Bill 5515. You have a number of materials that have been distributed to you. I think that most of the time we will be looking at the thickest of these materials, which is the recommendation memo. This is the memo that was also distributed to your offices earlier today by email. I would like to go through that briefly. The other items that we'll be spending time looking at is there's also a separate sheet that has what's labeled proposed DHED budget notes. That we'll also be going through that as well, as in addition to the other materials that you have here. If I may begin, Mr. Chair and members, the memo that I have has outlined 23 recommendations on Senate Bill 5515. And the first of these recommendations is basically, as we always do when you go in a work session on a bill, is to start with the approval of the essential budget level, because of the way that the budget is put together in the form of packages which either add to or subtract from that essential budget level. Our first recommendation is shown on page 1 of the memo to you, dated June 5th, and it does indicate that we do recommend that you approve the essential budget level calculations that are in the budget that was submitted to you by the governor, but with some modifications. And the modifications are that we now expect the debt service on existing debt that's been issued in prior biennia for capital construction in higher ed. These debt service amounts will be lower than was in the governor's recommended budget. So we're recommending that you reduce the general fund appropriation for debt service on Article 11 G bonds by as you can see, it's written down there at the bottom of page 1. The number's there. Again, for the sake of brevity, I will not reread these numbers separately on the record, except to say that the impact of approving Recommendation 1, if you do so, would be to adjust the amount of debt service for existing debt instruments to the levels that are needed to fully pay that debt service. In other words, there's too much money in the budget now. We'll take some out so that we can use it for other purposes. Turning to page 2 of the memo, the second recommendation relates to a package for regional university support, which is package number 111 in the budget. This is a package that we do recommend that you approve. If you do approve this package, it will provide a total of $9 million in general fund to support Eastern Oregon University, Oregon Institute of Technology, the Oregon State University Cascades Campus, Southern Oregon University, and Western Oregon University. These funds are to support the education and general programs of these institutions. The package also establishes 36 full-time positions, which will be spread among the various institutions that are affected. So that is a $9 million package that we recommend approval of. Package 3 comes to you, or I'm sorry, recommendation 3 for faculty salary catch-up came to you in the governor's recommended budget as an $8 million funding package. in order for to assist in increasing salaries for faculty at the campuses of the Oregon University System. The recommendation here is consistent with a adjustment to the co-chair's budget that added $2 million above the level previously in this package. There is now $10 million available for faculty salary catch-up, and we are recommending that you therefore modify this package to increase general fund by $2 million and also to allocate a proportionate share of the total funds to support faculty salary increases in the statewide public service programs. Some of the faculty who will be eligible to receive increased salary increases under these funds are actually, their salaries are paid through either the Agricultural Experiment Station, Extension Service, or Forest Research Laboratory budgets, in full or in part. And the recommendation here, which is shown in the shaded area in the middle of page 2, would be to allocate, or to appropriate the $10 million in general fund, as you see identified there, in order to provide these funds for faculty salary increases. Recommendation number 4 refers to the package 113. Oh, excuse me, if I may, Mr. Chair, I would at this time ask you to look at the proposed DHED budget notes page, because the first of these budget notes refers specifically to the faculty salary catch-up package that we were just discussing. So I believe this would be the appropriate time to
look at. Question before we
Representative Morgan.
Before we leave point number 3, the increase in funding here for education in general and for the statewide, does that become part of the EBL in the next biennium, or is that just a special appropriation?
That becomes part of the essential budget level in the next biennium, and indeed there is some roll-up of this that we, one of the budget notes, will discuss. But yes, it does become this, it will become part of the essential budget level, which of course the essential budget level is designed to identify for you what the cost is of maintaining programs as they will then exist at the end of this biennium, and with these salary increases would then be in place. So the essential budget level would show what the cost of maintaining that existing faculty at that existing faculty level will be.
Thank you.
At that existing compensation levels will be. Again, the first budget note, labeled faculty salary funding, would read that institutions shall use the funds allocated to them from the $10 million approved in this package to move faculty compensation rates closer to peer levels and thereby maintain institution quality, recruit and retain high-quality faculty, and promote academic excellence for students. The budget note continues that the department shall include information on the impact of this funding on measures of campus performance in its budget request to the 2009 Legislative Assembly. Continuing back to the recommendation memo, we are still on page 2, now on recommendation 4, which is a recommendation relating to a package in the governor's budget, package 113, to reduce the student-faculty ratio. This comes to you with a $6,860,000 in general fund, and the purpose of this package is to support hiring additional faculty on those campuses where the existing student-faculty ratio is higher than at peer institutions. So unlike package 3, this package is designed to increase the number of actual faculty on staff. We recommend that you approve this funding, but that you reduce the package by 42 positions from the level of 42 FTE. This correction is to correct an error in the governor's budget, and also to a further adjustment would provide that for purposes of this budget, the package will have no phase-in cost in the essential budget level calculation for the 09-11 biennium. That's to say the added positions would be budgeted as being available for the entire current fund. 0709 Miami. Recommendation 5 relates to the enrollment growth package. This is probably, of all of the packages, the ones that requires the most detailed explanation. The enrollment growth package, as it came to you from the governor, provided $14.6 million in general fund and $26 million in other funds in order to assist the institutions in addressing costs associated with enrollment growth. The other funds component, $26 million, represents the tuition revenues that the additional students are projected to generate for the Oregon University System campuses, that expenditure of these additional tuition revenues are not included in the essential budget level. So by allowing the institutions to spend the additional tuition dollars that the new students are bringing in, this will then allow the institutions to spend these monies to expand services as is necessary, class sections, etc., for the additional student load. Then there is there was an increase of $14.6 million in general fund to further supplement the institution's budgets in order to address enrollment growth. First of all, a major change from the package, the modification that LFO is recommending, is that you add $6 million to the general fund amount so that the package would provide not 14.6, but rather 20.6 million in general fund, as well as the $26 million in other funds for enrollment growth. We also have another technical reduction to the position count. Even though the amount of funding is going up, with technical corrections, the position count should be reduced by 137 positions. And that is the discussion of the total funding. There's additional direction as to how the general fund portion would be used, and the general fund portion would be supplied so that $10.3 million, or half of the general fund, would be distributed under the same proportions that general fund for enrollment is being distributed to institutions in the 0507 biennium. So half of the money would be distributed in the same ratios compared to the total. You know, if an institution is getting 12% of the total this biennium, they would get 12% of the $10.3 million. Of the other $10.3 million that is being provided, that would be distributed under what the department is calling the RAM, renormalization method. This is a method that concentrates the additional funds to those campuses that have not had their distribution of general fund adjusted since 2002-03, based on growth in the number of students, or based on the growth in the proportion of total OUS students that these institutions are serving. Specifically, we're talking about 3 of the 8 institutions would receive funds under this $10.3 million allocation. Those are Oregon State University, Portland State University, and I'm counting as a separate institution, in this case, the Oregon State University Cascades campus. So the other $10.3 million would be distributed to those institutions. The next recommendation... Oh, I could do that, Mr. Chair, sure. Actually, the chair suggested that we go back to the proposed budget notes, because he did note that one of them specifically refers to this package. Actually, I think it may be helpful to look at the next 3 budget notes together, which, although they don't all specifically refer to this package, they're all very much related. And they discuss, in general, the allocation of funds and the availability of funds to campuses and what the expectations are under this budget. The first of these 3, which is the second in the list, the budget note labeled tuition rates and resource fees, would say the following. The adopted budget projects net tuition and fee revenues of $1 billion for the 2007-09 biennium. The subcommittee expects tuition rate increases for resident undergraduate students, excluding students enrolled at Western Oregon University, to average 3.4% each year of the biennium. The department shall report to the Interim Joint Committee on Ways and Means or Emergency Board prior to any State Board of Higher Education approval of tuition and fee rate increases that would result in average increases for resident undergraduate students, excluding students enrolled at Western Oregon University, exceeding these amounts. The subcommittee further expects the department to limit resource fee, including energy surcharge fee revenue, to no more than 8.6% of gross tuition revenue. So what this is doing is indicating expectations for the amount of other funds that the you are expecting to help assist with your general fund to support the institutional budgets. It is relating an expectation on tuition rates for the set of students who are undergraduate resident students. And that those tuition rates, if you look at all of the institutions except Western, on average would not increase by more than 3.4% per year, and that you would be getting a report back if they approve tuition rate increases that exceed those amounts. The limitation on gross tuition revenue as a percentage, on resource fee revenues, is the same percentage that was approved last biennium. So the impact of that is that the institute would not be allowed to increase resource fee rates at a greater percentage than the tuition-based tuition rates are being increased. So that is the first of the three. The second of the three, which refers most directly to Package 114, talks about the funding distribution and indicates that the department shall allocate the general fund appropriated to the Education and General Services Program for the essential budget level through the resource allocation model as structured through the resource allocation model as structured in the 2006-07 academic year, with standard EBL adjustments plus any additional adjustments required to implement funding received from policy option packages approved in this budget. The funds provided in the enrollment growth package shall be distributed $10.3 million to enrollment growth and $10.3 million to RAM renormalization. No later than September 2008, the department shall report to the Interim Joint Committee on Ways and Means or Emergency Board regarding the distribution of general funds to campuses. So they will be reporting by September on how general fund is being distributed to the campuses. And finally, of the three, the third of these three is a budget note that does not directly affect the 07-09 biennium, but states in the future beyond this particular biennium that the subcommittee understands that beginning in the 2009-11 biennium, the department will distribute general fund appropriated for undergraduate and graduate self-funding in the resource allocation model on the basis of the actual fundable student FTE counts for the fiscal year of the distribution. This may include adjustments designed to settle up fiscal year allocations once final fundable student FTE counts are known. What this is indeed doing is it is stating your expectation that the department will discontinue the practice of using primarily your 2002-03 enrollment levels to distribute general fund to campuses, the portion of general fund that's distributed through the cell values in the RAM model, and that instead the department would revert to the process of using the actual existing enrollment levels instead of looking back at the frozen enrollment levels. So those are three. If there are any questions, I'll go back to the recommendations. We are now on page 3 of the recommendation memo, recommendation 6, utility costs. The governor's budget did include $2.2 million in general fund to help support utility cost increases to the campuses. We are recommending that you approve this with modification. We are not recommending that you change the total amount, but that you allocate a very small portion of the funds to the Agricultural Experiment Station Extension Service. This would be to allocate the proportionate share of the general fund to support the utility costs that are charged to the statewide program service budgets. I believe that these are primarily for off-campus sites. Well, I'm not absolutely certain of that, but these utilities for many of the off-campus sites for these Ag Experiment Station Extension Service are charged to those budgets as opposed to the E&G budget. Recommendation 7 is to approve a technical adjustment that reduces the position count by 21 positions and 20.94 FTE. This is to correct what essentially would have been an error in the EBL calculation if it's not included. Recommendation number 8 is a change from the prior co-chair's budget, at which time $3 million was available to support supplemental funding above the essential budget level for the statewide public service programs. The co-chairs have since approved an increase of $5 million, that's to say an increase of $2 million, to a total of $5 million general fund in support for the statewide public service programs above the essential budget level in package 201. And we are recommending that you approve that. There will be 3 separate appropriations because these are line items in the Senate Bill 5515. We've identified here the recommended appropriation, the recommended distribution of the $5 million between the 3 statewide public service programs. It is proportional to the original request. We are also indicating the recommended increases in position and FTE authority relating to the $5 million that would be available if you approve this package. And we also ask you to note an understanding that among these positions, this would include a Christmas tree specialist in the Extension Service. The next recommendation is on page 4. This is the ETEC package, Engineering Technology and Industry Council proposal. When you last saw this budget, the co-chair's budget had approved $10 million for supplemental funding for ETEC, and this is now increased to $15 million. So the recommendation is to appropriate $15 million general fund and establish 35 positions for supplemental funding of the ETEC initiatives. This represents about a 70% increase over the existing level of funding for these programs. Recommendation 10 refers to an information systems request. The governor's budget includes $837,000 in general fund for the Integrated Data Transfer System Technology Initiative, an initiative for which funding was begun by the 2005 legislative session and which is designed to improve the transmission of student data between high schools, community colleges, and OUS institutions. And last session, the funding was $2.2 million. The $800,000 was not being requested in addition to that. It was being requested as a replacement for that. In other words, the funding level was to have declined from $2.2 million to $800,000 for this project as it is works toward completion. However, the timing of expenditures has not proved to be following what was originally thought. And of all of the funds that were appropriated last session, approximately $600,000 of those will not be spent, but are still needed to complete the project above the amount to finalize the project, the $800,000 that's already in the budget. So we're recommending that you increase general fund appropriation in this package by $600,000 and reduce the 2005-07 biennium general fund appropriation for general education and general services by $600,000, effectively shifting the funding to match the costs. And that is our recommendation on that one. Number 11, recommendation 11, refers to the Rural Initiative Access Rural Access Initiative, Package 304. We are recommending that you approve that with modifications. The level in the co-chair's budget would be to allow the subcommittee to appropriate $580,000 general fund and add four positions for this initiative. Number 12, recommendation 12, relates to a package for the veterinary diagnostic lab. We recommend that you appropriate $750,000 in general fund and add four positions. This will fund current services, maintain accreditation, and handle new demand for existing testing services. Recommendation number 13 refers to package 301, which is a package for the healthcare initiative. We are recommending that you approve this. Note that this package includes $1,396,000 of general fund and establishes 26 positions and is split between two initiatives. About $2.8 million will be used to support and expand nursing prerequisite coursework in support of the OCNE plan to expand education, the number of nursing degrees provided in the state. And the most of the funds, though, $4.6 million, will be going to OIT to expand three of their programs, those in sonography, clinical lab science, and dental hygiene. Recommendation number 14 is a recommendation that does not involve general fund. It's an other funds recommendation. We recommend that you approve it. What it does is it would increase the other funds expenditure limitation for the Forest Research Laboratory by $5.4 million. This would permit expenditure funds that they would receive, this is a major source of funding for their budget, that they would receive if the forest products harvest tax sunset is extended at the existing rate. Every session, the legislature extends the sunset by 2 years. So unless that sunset is repealed in House Bill or extended in House Bill 2115, these funds will not be available. So we're adding the statement that if action on House Bill 2115 results in some different level of revenue than the $5.4 million, that bill has not been passed yet, then we would recommend an adjustment in the emergency fund bill to get the number right. 15, certificates of participation. This is not a general fund package. It is all other funds. We recommend that you approve the COPs requested in the Education and General Services Program. Package 309 includes $18,960,000 of COPs. COPs are debt instruments. The debt service on these COPs will be paid with university other funds and be budgeted as non-limited other funds. So there will be no general fund appropriated now or in the future to pay debt service on these initiatives, on these projects. I'm sorry. A list of the projects is provided in the material we distributed to you today. There is a sheet that comes down a bit. Maybe the last item. That says 2007-09 certificates of participation request form. This number totals almost $30 million, but the three items that are identified are actually capital construction items. They are not in this recommendation because you would either approve or deny them in Senate Bill 5516, which is the capital construction bill. Most of this, as you can see, is the second item, $11.76 million for ETEC. This would be, of course, in addition to the $15 million extra that they would receive if you approve that the other recommendation relating to the general fund for ETEC. So in total, this would add $26 million in funding for ETEC initiatives. Recommendation 16 is certificates of participation debt service. It's a separate package in the budget, and this refers to the debt service on these COPs that will become due this year, this biennium, I'm sorry, and that would be to approve the fact that there will be an additional $4,120,004 in non-limited other fund expenditures to pay debt service. Now we turn to two general fund packages. Recommendation 17, the Institute for Natural Resources. We recommend approving with modifications. We recommend that the subcommittee appropriate $200,000 in general fund to support the Natural Resources Institute. These funds will supplement the $263,000 in the EBL from the Institute, so the funding would be $463,000 if you approve Package 351. Recommendation number 18 refers to Oregon Solutions, Package 352. We recommend that you approve this package with modifications. This package provides general fund to support the Oregon Solutions Program, and our recommendation is to appropriate $1.2 million for this package. Recommendation 19 refers to Sports Action Lottery. This package does two things. It allows the university system to spend all of the sports action lottery dollars that are anticipated for it to receive. It also has an offsetting reduction of $4.9 million in general fund that is calculated to be equal to the amount that of general fund that is used to currently support intercollegiate athletic programs. We recommend approval. However, there is an adjustment in the amount of forecast sports action lottery revenues. And therefore, if you look at the bottom part of paragraph 19, the bolded language, we're recommending that you approve a $4.9 million reduction in the Education and General Services Program, general fund appropriation, and a $6,761,139 increase in the lottery funds expenditure limitation in the Sports Action Lottery Program. Recommendation 20 was a request to or a package that would have reduced the general fund appropriation to higher ed by $16 million. There's actually another component, an additional component in Senate Bill 55-16, but the part relating to the operating budget here in 55-15 is $16 million. It would have reduced this by, it would reduce their general fund by $16 million and allowed OUS to spend $16 million and retain interest earnings that it doesn't currently retain under current law. In order to effectuate those legal changes that would allow them to retain these interest earnings, you will need to pass House Bill 2198. So we are not recommending passage of that bill, we are not recommending this package, but then again, if you do choose to pass House Bill 2198, you can essentially add this package back into that bill, and it can come together as a single item.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Where is House Bill 2198 now?
It is in Ways and Means Committee.
It's not here?
No, it is not. It has not been assigned to a subcommittee.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Steve, just the rationale for, we've had a lot of discussion on that issue in this committee, and there's been a great deal of interest, at least on the committee that's been looking at this issue, the rationale for denying that package?
There are a number of rationales for denying it. There is the primary rationale for denying that is to retain sources of revenue available to the general fund, which the legislature, of course, has full authority to appropriate in the best interest of the state, as opposed to making these revenues dedicated to one particular state agency. I would like to mention also that if you go back to the budget notes, you are also being asked to approve a budget note relating to this, and this is actually on the back of this page. You may have not have noticed, but it's actually written on both sides of this particular page. There's a budget note that says the department shall assist the state treasurer and the legislative fiscal office in an examination of the management and investment of department funds and in the development of fund management policy proposals designed to optimize outcomes to both the state general fund and the Oregon University system. The report findings and policy proposals shall be presented to the, I'm sorry, the second two should be eliminated there, to the Interim Joint Committee on Ways and Means or Emergency Board no later than July 1, 2008. And I believe there has been a request to change that to February 1, 2008, so that in the special session, if this report results in proposed legislation, it could be enacted without delay.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Decker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just on that, one of the, and I don't know how it got left out, legislative revenue offices, we have economists that deal specifically, and I know this book came out of Representative Barnhart's committee, that deal specifically with interest earnings and that question. So if we were to bid, I'd rather, obviously, move more aggressively on the legislation, but if we were to adopt this, I'd like to amend in some involvement from the folks that we have that actively are looking at that issue and involved in that issue. And I don't know how we make a three-word amendment, but I think it'd be appropriate to have your revenue office involved in that.
I think Representative Barnhart, did you? Senator Morse?
Well, I certainly second that suggestion. I would simply add to it that the House Committee on Revenue has already passed out the bill, Senate to Ways and Means, with a due pass recommendation. We've done our study. We're ready to work. This note asks for an additional study that I think my committee's position would be that we don't need. If somebody else needs an additional study, I suppose we could do it. But then, in that case, I would definitely agree with Senator Decker that the people who have done the analysis already ought to be involved, included in the study process. I'm hopeful that we will yet pass House Bill 2198, maybe even move the authorizing date earlier, and so a budget note like this would be superfluous because we've already done the thing that it was intended to study.
Thank you, Representative Senator Morse.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would echo Representative Barnhart's comments. We should, I believe, have that bill come before us in this committee, ask for it to be referred, and give it a hearing. There's been a lot of information, some of it apparently of which we maybe have misunderstood, as per the letter from the Treasurer's office. And it would be good, I think, to have that ability to work that, have the hearing and understand these issues better. If we do implement this budget mode, I would suggest that we think about a date even earlier than February 1. Remember, it's a 30-day session. And if you're going to have legislation introduced, if this arrives on the opening day of session, it isn't going to happen.
That's right.
So it should be later than probably the 1st of January or January 2nd.
Representative Morgan.
I'll concur with my colleagues. I think that given the fact that the House Revenue Committee has already reviewed the bill and passed it out, that it would be good to have a hearing in this committee around the bill just to make sure that the committee members here have an understanding of the discussion both from the Revenue Committee's perspective and from the Treasurer's Office perspective. And I'm sure everybody has looked by now at this letter that we've received from the Treasurer that raises a number of points about a process that would be involved to bring the accounts to where they could be put into a format that would result in what we're hoping to see here. So I think that at the very least, a hearing in this committee is a worthwhile thing to do. And I also would concur with Senator Morse's observation that if there is no hope of actually moving this bill in this session, then certainly we should lay the groundwork to have it be introduced into the special session. And that having, if this budget note does go into the budget, to make sure that the report is received back in time for it to be used and have things set up for that special session.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. And I'm glad Representative Morgan did point to the letter from the State Treasurer that directly addressed some points in the conversation that we had, so I think that was useful. Thank you for pointing that out. If the committee desires to add legislative revenue, I mean, that's one perspective. I guess I don't really understand the need to include revenue. I mean, it seems to me that LFO are the folks that really deal with this directly, and I don't know really. I mean, I guess I would like to hear what, from your perspective, just...
Well, Mr. Chair, we certainly would seek assistance from other experts in this area in order to provide as good a report to you as we can. If you want to require the Legislative Revenue Office to participate, you probably should add that as opposed to just knowing that we would be seeking your assistance, as well as assistance in DAS and in other areas that deal with these types of issues of finance.
Okay. Representative,
thank you, Mr. Chair. One of the functions of the House Committee on Revenue and the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee is precisely in the area of figuring out how to handle the state's finances. I'm not budgeting, obviously, that's the responsibility of this committee, but reviewing the bonding laws, supervising the treasurer's handling of state funds, establishing rules concerning the way checks and warrants are handled, and a whole variety of other fiscal issues go through those two committees. So it's perfectly appropriate and I think very reasonable that this kind of a fiscal matter would include the Legislative Revenue Office at a minimum, since they're the experts in this area.
Thank you, Representative. Steve?
Yes, I just did want to note, allow committee members to know that many bills do affect interest earnings during the course of a legislative session, and that we have historically, between the two legislative service offices, it has been the Legislative Fiscal Office who has, in fiscal impact statements, provided information to the legislature on the impact of bills that do impact the use of interest earnings. So I'm sure that the Legislative Revenue Office will be able to provide assistance, and we would certainly seek that. However, historically, they have not been the office that has handled analysis of that type of information for the legislature.
Not that we're trying to start a turf war. Representative Morgan.
Well, and that also is not to minimize the potential policy discussion here around the allocation of what had been a general fund funding mechanism into another venue. And so there has to be room to have that discussion, too.
Right.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. Representative Barker.
Thank you. And I completely agree with what Representative Morgan just said. And I think what we've demonstrated, in effect, with this little conversation is that this particular issue is at the interstices between various different expertise. And that's part of the why it's an issue of difficulty, because part of the responsibility is in the fiscal office and part of it's in the revenue office. And of course, the letter from the treasurer makes it clear that part of it's his.
Well, and part of it is a policy discussion.
Correct.
That
absolutely
is the legislature's venue to discuss and vote upon.
And the policy issue, of course, is typically a revenue issue, revenue committee issue.
And if no one wants to say anything further on this, we will stand at ease until this musical chairs thing is stabilized a little bit. court to order and ask Mr. Bender to continue with the narrative.
Thank you. We're now up to page 6 of the LFO recommendation. Recommendation number 21, debt structure changes. We recommend approval of this package. This package is associated with House Bill 2199, which would permit the use of variable rate and synthetic fixed rate debt financing instruments for Article 11 F1 bonds. Article 11 F1 bonds are bonds that debt service for which is paid for from other fund sources. This is also another bill that comes to this committee from the House Revenue and Committee, and it is in Ways and Means as well. The use of these variable rate and synthetic fixed rate debt financing instruments is projected to reduce debt service costs for OUS by $2 million in 2007-09. The subcommittee should approve this package with the understanding that the Department of Administrative Services will unschedule the other fund's expenditure limitation increase in position authority if House Bill 2199 does not become law. Now, this is a somewhat different situation than the package with House Bill 2198, because if you approve the other package and House Bill 2198 doesn't become law, then higher ed's out $10 million. If you approve this package and House Bill 2199 doesn't become law, there are really no adverse effects. It's just that the benefits that that bill is supposed to provide would not occur.
One moment, please. Representative
Thank you. Where is House Bill 2199 now?
It has been assigned to this subcommittee. I believe that was yesterday or today.
Oh, good. Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. And remind me one more time what 11 F1 bonds are for.
11 F1 bonds are bonds that are for self-liquidating projects. Typically, they are for auxiliaries.
Dormitories, thank you. And therefore, if I could just follow to finish the thought, what this really does is reduce costs for students in areas where they're paying for these auxiliary structures.
Yes, this would certainly reduce the costs of debt service on these projects, and hopefully it would be passed through to students.
All right, thank you.
Please proceed, Mr. Bender.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Recommendation number 22 refers to the Capital Construction Policy Package 401. As you know, this is not the Capital Construction Bill. However, there's a small portion of this package that is actually in this particular bill, and that is what this recommendation addresses. We recommend approving the portion relating to the operating budget with modifications. The portion of this package relating to the operating budget is a provision of lottery funds for debt service costs on lottery bonds that are being proposed in Senate Bill 5516. We recommend that you approve a $5,329,137 lottery fund expenditure limitation increase for debt service costs, which is anticipated to provide funding needed for the $50 million in lottery bonds for capital repair and academic modernization in the co-chair's budget. Our final recommendation refers to performance measures. We recommend that you approve the performance measures that the department submitted with appropriate target changes, however, to incorporate the impact of the policy packages funded in this bill. We also recommend that you direct the department to report on additional measures with its 2009-11 biennium budget request. If you continue on to the next page of the recommendation of the material we're looking at here, you can see that there are four pages that follow of performance measures that we are asking you to approve and the targets for those performance measures. Again, what LFO did here was we took the performance measures that were submitted and we essentially took the targets that the department proposed with modifications for those targets that were affected by the policy packages that are in the LFO recommendation. We also added on the last of these four pages of the key performance measures form a number of additional measures that are not, we're not asking the department or recommending that you direct the department to add these as key performance measures, but these are additional reported measures relating to some of the policy packages that are available. This completes the LFO recommendation. I do want to, though, show you a couple of, point out a couple of other items that are in your, that have been distributed. One is a sheet that is multicolored that is the current projection for education and general service other fund revenues. These are primarily tuition dollars plus other sources of revenue as well. I did want to make sure you had a copy of this. This was revised from the version that you saw a few days ago in an earlier work session on this particular budget. The department looked again at the projections, and there are some revisions here in the dollar amounts, though in total, the total comes out to be very close. The red total on row 33 had been $1 billion, and now it's $999 million. So in net, things turned out to be quite similar. Another item that we did distribute that if there are any questions on, we can go into that further, but this just shows how funds were distributed in the 2005-07 biennium. This is the RAM model, and it shows how funds are distributed to the campuses. This is basically the model that will be continued with some modifications that we pointed out. And we also have, we're distributing another item to look at RAM distributions for 07-09. I would, as that's being distributed, ask you to go back to the proposed budget note list here. There's one budget note that we still have not, thanks, that we still have not discussed, and that's the last one on the first page, the roll-up of supplemental funding. This indicates that the approved budget for all programs supported by general fund and lottery fund expenditures fully funds these programs in the 2007-09 biennium. The subcommittee understands that essential budget level calculations for the 2009-11 biennium budget will not include general fund or lottery fund phasing adjustments. Notwithstanding this, the subcommittee understands that a general fund phasing adjustment will be included in the EBL calculation for the faculty salary catch-up package. This phase-in shall be calculated on the basis of package funds being distributed through two equal salary percentages awarded on July 1st of each fiscal year in the 2007-09 biennium. What this particular budget note is actually saying, in more plain English, is that the roll-ups, the budget will be constructed next biennium with the additional packages made a part of, entered into the essential budget level without additional phase-in, except for the faculty salary catch-up, where there will be some phase-in, but the phase-in calculations will be based on assumptions of July 1 equal percentage increases, although even if the actual percentage increases are somewhat different. This final item, which was handed out, just shows essentially a draft of the recommendation and some expectations of how funds will be provided, how much funds will be provided to the institutions. Please note this is only a draft, and that the State Board of Higher Education may change this. They will be reporting no later than September 2008 on how they are distributing funds, and at that time it will be noted. We can, you know, see if they ended up looking like this or not. But this is basically the best expectation, I think, at this time of what this budget will do.
Questions or comments?
Comments on the budget note,
Representative Jensen.
Yes, I would comment that I have, you know, kind of a basic problem with wording in the budget notes, where they are worded in terms of statutory obligation. It seems to me
rather than in the terms that this is the expectation of the committee and the full Ways and Means Committee later if they're accepted. For example, institutions shall use. And it is my understanding that budget notes do not have the force of law, and therefore the wording here, it seems to me, can not really be appropriate. I would think wording, you know, to the something to the way that it is expected that institutions will use. It is the expectation that the institutions will use sort of language rather than the mandatory shalls sort of thing. And there's no you know, particular disrespect meant by this, Madam Chair, or to the legislative fiscal office in this. It just it always strikes me the wrong way when I read a budget note that reads like it is a budget, or it is a statutory.
Mr. Bender, the last budget note on this page that deals with roll-ups, have we gone through that one?
I did say it, but we did not. I can certainly expound upon it further. The governor's budget, in some of the packages that were funded, the governor stated that he was funding these packages and expecting that the cost would automatically increase in the next biennium, the next in this case being the 09-11 biennium, because some of the funding would be only implemented in the second year. He only expected the institutions to implement or use the funding in the second year of the biennium. One of those, for example, was the situation where there was funds in the budget for faculty salary roll-ups. And the governor did not expect any of those funds to be used in the first year of the biennium, that they would be deferred until the second year, and then that the cost in the roll-up would be doubled. We would have to provide the funding twice for the second year in the biennium. This budget note is intended to limit the roll-up costs of the additional funding that's provided in order to help keep budget level expenditure levels sustainable in the overall general fund budget, and directs the institutions to note that for purposes of essential budget level calculations, they would not be allowed to double funding for packages that is being provided this time. They would essentially be spending the funds throughout this biennium so that the roll-up costs would simply be the regular essential budget level adjustments for them.
Questions or comments? Mr. Bender, have you concluded your presentation at this point?
I believe I have, if there are no further questions.
I'm not sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not sure how to formulate the question that I've got, but let me just take a shot at it and see if I can get there. There are some fairly specific funding distribution ideas in the budget note. After hearing Representative Jensen's presentation, I'm not sure quite how to characterize them, but ideas in the budget note on funding distribution, and they're very, very quite specific. It's also my understanding that the Board of Higher Education would prefer to establish the funding distribution itself. How did the office generate this recommendation for a budget note?
Are you referring, Representative, to the third budget note?
Yeah, I think so, yes. I may also be referring to the fourth one. I'm not sure. I'm not certain.
There was considerable discussions when the co-chairs, for example, were looking at the available amounts of funding or the amount of funds that could be made available for this budget as to trying to determine what the impacts of the funding would be as opposed to other items that they may be considering funding in other budgets. And in order to clarify what the outcomes are, specifically to institutions and to what levels of funding they might be able to expect if the budget is approved, these particular budget notes were suggested to provide better understanding to both legislators and the system as to what is hoped to be accomplished by providing the funding levels that you would appropriate if you approve this bill. It looks like that doesn't answer your question. But otherwise, it's not clear, for example, where the money would go. There were numbers of issues related to particular policy packages, and I think there was discussion here in this subcommittee. I know, for example, that in terms of the ETEC policy package, there were issues of, well, are all of the institutions going to get this? Is this going to be focused or concentrated on particular institutions? That, of course, again, as you correctly mentioned, statutorily, the State Board of Higher Education has authority to determine how those funds are expended, but the legislature, in appropriating funds, may have expectations, and that is what this budget note is designed to essentially clarify what some of those expectations are.
Mm-hmm. If I could follow up on that, thank you. The thing that is disturbing to me, in addition to what Representative Jensen said, which I agree with his comment about this, is that it doesn't appear as though this really is useful to help guide the Board of Higher Education, except numerically. I mean, you could certainly take these statements and turn them into numbers without much difficulty, assuming you understand what the labels mean. What it doesn't suggest is the object behind doing it this way. What's the point of doing it this way? And the reason that's of importance to me is that if we're trying to give guidance to the board is charged with the management. Circumstances change, and a formulaic approach may not work based on that change, those changed circumstances. If we've charged them with the management of the university system, some distribution of funds different from that based on the formula might become necessary in order to get at our underlying objectives. And if the underlying objectives aren't stated, then it becomes very difficult for the board to actually manage within the expectations of the legislature based on these budget notes. So they're a real problem for me on that basis. It looks like on the one hand we ask the board to manage, on the other hand we tell them precisely what that means, which is something I don't believe we can actually do. I mean, I don't mean legally. We may or may not be able to do it legally. But in terms of the practical business of management over a two-year cycle, I don't think it's possible.
Thank you, Representative. So I'm going to call up the Chancellor, because we were just talking about this issue. And I think we can do without one of the budget. I think we'll be able to do... Senator Walker, I think we'll be able to do without one of the budget notes, but I wanted the Chancellor to talk a little bit about how the Higher Ed Board would be distributing the money over the next two biennia, Mr. Chancellor.
Mr. Chair, thank you for the record, George Bernsteiner, Chancellor, Oregon University System. It has been our intention, and it will be our recommendation of the Board, and my expectation that the Board will, over the course of the next two biennia, fully renormalize the ramp. And by that I mean that they will catch up the enrollment that will have occurred by that time and be funding all fundable students at that time. That has been the intention of the board for some time. There was not sufficient resource in either 0507 or in the original 0709 request to be able to do that, but certainly by 0911, that is the intention.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chancellor. I'm forgetting your name, Senator Devlin.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
You've lost 15 pounds in the last...
Yeah.
And he has a few broken bones, too, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I'm never going to a movie with this committee. You guys are up, you're down.
That's the item that you wanted to have the Chancellor address at
this
time.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, there's one other issue that I'd like the Chancellor to address. On the issue of LIRC at the University of Oregon, my understanding is now that there's a commitment by the system to fund LIRC at the recommended level in the full university budget, which is, would you indicate what that additional number is that we talked about?
It is my understanding that $188,000 for the upcoming biennium, in addition to the essential budget level for LIRC, would be the amount that would be required in order to achieve the goals and outcomes which have been stated for LIRC. And in conversations with the University of Oregon, there will be funding available for that purpose.
Okay. And we have the commitment of the OUS system and the University of Oregon to make that happen.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'm ready at any time you are for motions.
Well, considering we've got about 5 minutes, I'm ready to take motions.
Mr. Chairman, I move the LFO recommendations relative to the basic budget items, basic to the budget notes, with the exception of the budget note on enrollment growth, which will no longer be in there, and that decision will be left up to the Board of Higher Education. Also in the budget note relative to the work on the interest, that date will be moved to January 1st, 2008, and it's all of the LFO recommendations in your, let me see here.
Is this the entire budget?
Entire budget note. It's referring to the budget note on funding distribution, yeah, which will be removed from the recommendation. And in terms of the recommendation, too, in terms of the motion, it's any adjustment to the individual line items in the bill that have been recommended by the LFO analyst. So that basically, if you want me to repeat that, I could, but I think that's adequate to address all the issues.
You've heard the motion from Senator Devlin.
I just want to make certain that I understand.
Yeah.
This includes the funds that we talked about in our telephone conversations over the weekend. Is that right?
The $15 million above and beyond.
Right.
You're talking about the $2 million for salary. Because you haven't been...
I was Mr. Chairman, part of the discussion because I was in another meeting.
Mr. Chairman. Yes, it does. Yes,
it does. It includes all of those items. It includes the additional $2 million. All the recommendations, they've all been reflected now. For instance, the $6 million additional enrollment growth, the $2 million additional in faculty salaries, the $2 million additional in terms of statewides, the $5 million additional in ETIC, and all the distributions that we previously agreed upon that are in the LFO recommendation relative to some of the smaller items that were indicated that totaled in terms of the Eastern Oregon. It's everything that's in the LFO recommendation. Everything is actually there that we have discussed.
Yeah,
in the recommendation we have today.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
One other question. Actually, it's not a question. It's a comment, if I may. And that is this. This budget continues to seriously and significantly underfund the university system. I am hopeful that as we get to the end of the session and we do final adjustments, we'll be able to find some more money to fill in some of the ongoing holes in this budget. Specifically, my concern remains the core budget, being able to put on an adequate number and scope of classes, being able to adequately pay faculty and have adequate numbers of faculty available for students, and also to be able to fund the other economic enterprises that the universities are engaged in. And I'm thinking primarily about Oregon and Oregon State, but all the universities have some of these enterprises in them that are important economic drivers for Oregon in addition to the education that we provide for our students. My concern has been ameliorated somewhat, but it's still there. I'm going to support the budget today, but I don't want anybody to think that I believe this is an adequate budget, because it's not.
Thank you, Representative Barnhart. Senator Decker.
I know we need to vote, so I'm going to be very brief. And I would thank the chair first when he stops talking to the vice chair. So, but I would thank the chair for his. Well, I'll just give up on that. First patience.
Something nice of me, right?
I did.
Thank you.
I did.
Appreciate it.
And I join in his remarks.
You've been very patient with a committee that cares a great deal about higher education, and the reason I think that. Probably this committee's been up and down so much trying because they care so much, and we know where we stand with our competitors, but not in the United States of America. We know how badly we've done for higher education in comparison to the rest of the United States. But globally, now countries get the centrality of higher education to their economy, and it is just, I think it's difficult to vote yes on a budget. Difficult. That in a better economy, this budget still, and we should be aware of that, by percentage basis, still comes in near last in terms of our budget priorities. And to me, that indicates a state that is having a harder time getting it, that the relationship between higher education and its ability to have a health plan and its ability to do community mental health and its ability to fund these other things is very, very tenuous, because even with a better budget, by percentage, this budget is still coming in near the last of our own priorities in this building. And that's the difficulty, Mr. Chair. But you have been patient with this committee, and perhaps it is better than where we're at. But I think that's the great challenge for the state of Oregon, is to not be a service economy for states that get it and countries that get it, where we import our talent, because that is the strategy. And I think this budget, unfortunately, doesn't reflect that we grasp where the world is moving in terms of higher education. Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Thank you, Senator Decker. Senator Morse.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would echo that and include our good
vice chair
in this process of trying to find the middle ground. The unresolved issue in this budget has to do with interest earnings. And I'd like to have some pretty clear understanding of where we're going with that issue, because we're talking about very, very serious adds to revenue with a different management cash. And for us to leave this building with it hanging in a budget note when we have the opportunity, clearly a directive from our chief executive officer, the governor, who has crafted in his budget, who puts in the stakes of the $16 million, and an implementing piece of legislation that has passed one committee, it's been referred to Ways and Means, and to leave that hanging in the balance, to me, with the expectation, given the scenarios that were presented by Mr. Canton, of a potential additional earnings over the puts and takes of $18 million given the scenario three, it would baffle me no end why we would leave that issue hanging without addressing it and capturing those earnings just at the earliest possible date, as opposed to letting it slide. So I'm troubled with passing a budget that literally steps over $18 million.
Thank you, Senator Morse. Senator Walker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank the committee's indulgence and the co-chairs for their flexibility and understanding our concerns about some of these budget notes, and also especially I thank the vice chair for putting up with me, but there were some things that needed to be back into this budget. It's not perfect, but oh my, we've done much better than when we started. I'm very pleased that we've come this far, and Senator Morse is right, Senator Deckard is right. I look forward to having a discussion on House Bill 2198, I believe it is, to actually have that discussion about how better to fund our university system on a more steady basis.
much like we are always worrying about how to fund our state troopers, we have a problem, but I think we've done very well here, and I'm happy to walk away today knowing I voted on this budget.
Thank you, Senator Walker. Senator Starr.
Briefly, I will associate myself with the comments of Senator Decker. I think he hit it right on target. And I especially appreciate the work over the weekend, and I know that the chair and vice chair did. And I especially appreciate the continued investment in ETIC. For me, that is critically important. Again, associate myself with Senator Decker's comments about overall amount of money that we're investing, especially in light of the, you know, the recent, there's a news editorial on Sunday talking about investments in other parts of the world. So, enough said.
Thank you, Senator Starr. Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I'd like to express my appreciation to the Chair and the Vice Chair. I think that there's been an immense amount of lifting, heavy lifting and light lifting and moving around, and you've put an immense amount of work into this, and I think both of you should be very proud of the work that you've done. This is a significant investment. This budget is more than 18% more than we were able to invest in this policy area in the last biennium. And that being said, there are good investments in here. I think there are still some problems. The statewides, which are the essentially ETIC for the natural resource industries, the future developments and the innovations in the timber industry and agriculture and all those natural resource-based industries, the competitiveness of those industries depends on that research being done. And I appreciate the increase in funding that the co-chairs have put in there to bring that up to a $5 million enhancement. I also appreciate the funding that was put into the utility costs and also into the faculty salary catch-ups that incorporate the statewides, but it is a very small investment when you put it in up against what should be done here. These folks asked for $15 million. We gave them just over $5 million. In order for the timber industry and the ag industry and the commercial fishing folks to continue to be the important drivers to the economy of Oregon that they are in the rural parts of the state, these investments need to be there. And so I hope that we'll continue to look at that. I also have the Institute for Natural Resources. They're walking away from this budget without the final $50,000 to fully fund their request. And I think that is a missed opportunity. I think that one of the serious things that we need to make sure happens is dealing with the way that the interest is invested in OUS's funds, and that I totally agree with Senator Morse there, that we're not doing our due diligence as stewards of this fund unless we take a look at and get to a place where we can invest these funds to have them make the highest return that they can within the management strategy that makes sense. But I very much support moving forward with the bill that does this. And it's pretty clear that from the comings and goings here and the end game discussions that it isn't going to happen as a result or in the session. But I think it's an opportunity that we are very foolish to pass up, and I would hope that there is a lot of energy put into staging this so that it can become an issue in the special session in the spring. Again, thank you so much to the chair and the co-chair.
Thank you, Representative Morgan. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to also express my appreciation and thanks to the chair and the vice chair in the hard work that they have put in to working this budget. I know and understand and recognize that it has not been easy. It is probably by the nature of the process never going to be easy, but I think they certainly have done the very best that they were able to do. Having said that, and you know, I am reluctantly, and I say reluctantly, going to support this particular budget for the Oregon University system. Reluctantly because we have not made, I submit, an investment in higher education with this particular budget. This budget is in, if we want to invest in higher education, as I think we are obligated to do in the day and age that we're living in, failure to do so is going to put us on a downward spiral as far as our growth and development, our economic development in the state, whether that be in the agricultural arena that I and my district is so dependent upon, or whether it be in the high-tech arena that seems to sometimes be so in vogue at the present time. You know, in order to be competitive in these, we need to make a more significant investment in higher education. I was especially distraught last weekend when I returned home to my district and went to the high school graduation at Pendleton High School. It was kind of a repeat of what it had been some 3 years ago when I went to the graduation when my granddaughter was graduating. This time it was my little neighbor girl across the street that we've watched grow up and has been such a charming young lady, has grown into such a charming young lady, to be there for her graduation. But what it wasn't that I was distraught that she was graduating, although it's always somewhat reluctant to see young people grow up. I mean, there should be something written someplace that they remain at the cute stage, you know. But such is not nature, and we learn to live with that. But as I listened, as they do every year at the Pendleton High School graduation, they list off where students have committed to go to college and list off the scholarships, etc., that the students have received. In the Oregon University system, there were two students who had received something from and made some kind of a commitment to go to Oregon State University. There were three students who had received something from and made some kind of a commitment to go to the University of Oregon.
Representative Jensen?
Yes.
I'm worried that Representative Senator Deckard's really got to leave pretty soon. I know he wants to vote on this budget, so...
Senator Deckard, I hope you're not in too big a crisis on it. I figure I should have about 30 minutes left on this.
That's a Pendleton 30 minutes, too. So. I should say at this point, we're doing the community college work. We're going to do a work session on community college budget tomorrow. So.
But that's fine. I'll have another.
I know.
In respect to my good friend Senator Deckard, then I will try to abbreviate this, and we can move on. I was distressed that there were just a handful of the graduates, some very very fine graduates, going to the Oregon University system, and there were an equal number of those graduates going to some obscure places like the United States Army Military Academy at West Point. There were some other obscure places like William and Mary, etc. type of thing, with an equal number of students compared to those that were going to the Oregon University system. But most disturbing was that the University of Idaho had 6 students going to the University of Idaho, and Boise State, perhaps complements of a very fine football program and an athletic program that was smart enough to take a kid from Eastern Oregon to quarterback them to national prominence. There were 10 students going to Boise State. That saddened me. And really, it's part of an underfunding of our university system. I also was disturbed, and I will close with this, I was disturbed that what we have done, the rural access portion of this budget was gutted to being non-existent, and that really distressed me because currently rural Oregonians and rural students in general do not go to college at the same frequency that urban students do. There was an excellent program there at Eastern Oregon University that's been proposed, and it got passed over with an inadequate funding for it. So having said that, Mr. Chair, I will support this budget, but I am distressed with it, and I am saddened by it.
Thank you, Representative Jensen. Senator Devlin.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be very quick. I just need to get a couple of items on the official record. One, in terms of the budget report, I would hope that the budget report would reflect the assurances from the Chancellor relative to funding distribution, and also the assurances from the Chancellor's office relative to LURC. Also, for the committee's record, in terms of the issue over interest, just to put on the record, we got the budget note. We moved it from July 1st to February 1st, then to January 1st. We also got assurances from the co-chairs that we will at least be able to have a hearing on the actual bill so that we will have a chance in this committee to discuss the merits or what additional work may need to be done in order for this bill to be considered.
2198?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. 4 quick things, really quick. Number one is I've been informed that actually this budget would be a 22% increase. Secondly, the chair will certainly continue to push for 2198. Third, I want to align myself with the comments of Senator Deckert, very articulate. I wanted to, and then fourth, I wanted to thank the committee for their work, and it is evident that people here, I think, really get it and are concerned, and I'm honored to be on this committee. I wanted to thank Steve Bender, and I want to thank the vice chair for all of his work. And with that, Eric, can you call the roll on the motion?
Senator Morris?
Aye.
Senator Walker?
Aye.
Senator Deckert?
That's aye.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Vice Chair Devlin?
Aye.
Representative Morgan?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Edwards?
The rookie votes aye.
Representative Reinhart?
Aye.
Chair Delizio?
Aye. Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, House Bill 5024, as amended by the committee, moved to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Devlin has moved House Bill 5024 with the as amended with a due pass to the full committee.
Recognizing all of the other 4 recommendations and the amendments.
Recognizing all the amendments and LFO recommendations. Any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, motion carries. Carriers. So, Senator Morris, would you please carry to the Senate floor and to the full committee?
I will be delighted.
Thank you very much. Representative Edwards, would you carry to the House floor and to, well, no, you're not to the full, but to the House floor?
I would be privileged, Mr. Chair.
All right, thank you very much.
Mr. Chair?
Yes,
just one parting thought. from my 100 years ago first class in economics that I took, that when you have $1,000, if you take a 50% decrease in your $1,000 to $500, how much of an increase on the $500 do you have to get back to $1,000? And I would submit to you that it's more than 22%.
Point well taken. With that, I will close the work session, and we are adjourned.